All right, I will say good morning. Let us begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors, for the month of Kislev, Sammy and Malka Esterson, for dedicating all the Shiurim and Drushos this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchak Leib and Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamos will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. Our week of learning sponsors, Matt and Diane Marks, in honor of the birth of their granddaughter, Rina Bracha Dorfman. May she go from strength to strength. Mazel Tov. And our Daf Yomi sponsors, in the Zchus of Refuah Shleima, for Ruchama Aviva, Bas Sheina Chana, and for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Kol Chole Yisrael have a complete and enduring refuah. And with that, let us begin. So you have a beautiful daf out of us today. Today's daf is Yud Gimel 13. We are picking up on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Actually, towards the end of the daf, Baruch Hashem, we are picking up six lines off from the bottom. So let's remember again, we ended off yesterday with the really great sugya of the meal schedule, right? Finding out when different people go ahead and have their meals. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi, so remember again, just to reorient ourselves. So we began with a Mishnah, and the Mishnah spoke about the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the timeline for chametz consumption on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Meir telling us that halacha l'maisa, you could eat through the fifth hour up until the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda saying you could eat until the fourth hour, or I should say through the fourth hour. Tolin, we suspend during the fifth hour, and we burn in the sixth hour. Suppose we were discussing the idea that this machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is, interestingly enough, not just a machlokas uniquely related to chametz, but ultimately, again, a machlokas that we find where else? By Eidos. And I will say, really what it came down to is, fascinatingly enough, seemingly a machlokas in human nature about how precise, or better stated, how imprecise people really are. We saw machlokas Abaye and Rava in two different versions, ultimately, again, of the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say, so now again, we see the machlokas by chametz is really the same machlokas by Eidos. It's just a question of how much are we concerned regarding human error versus how much do we want people ultimately to go ahead and kind of straddle the fence between mutter and asr. Now remember, we'll say the one piece that everyone agrees with, you know this right, but I'll just say it. The one thing to always keep in mind is there already is a built-in buffer, right? The built-in buffer is sixth hour, right? Because remember again, mid-da'oraisa, the Issur D'oraisa of Chametz does not begin until the end of the sixth, beginning of the seventh hour. So by definition, we always have a buffer, and everybody agrees with that. So beginning of the sixth is the Issur D'rabbanan, which we've seen, interestingly enough, takes on the characteristics itself of the Issur D'oraisa. So again, no one is suggesting ever that you ever straddle the fence between Mutter and Asr. This is general advice for life. Never straddle the fence between mutter and asr, because inevitably I will fall on the wrong side of that at some point. Now, so there already is a built-in buffer. The shaila is the have to examine anymore. So let's go. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, ki machlokas be'edus kach machlokas b'chametz. So Rav Ashi says, by the way, the same machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda by edus, by testimony, meaning how much witnesses could be off with one another. Ultimately, again, it's the same machlokas by chametz, which Gemara says, pshita. That's obvious. Haynu hach da'aminon. That's what we just said the entire blot. To which the Gemara says, no. Hakamash malon shinuye dishaninan shinuyehu. V'lo teima tanaihi. To which the Gemara says, no. All we're doing now is just saying that all of the different answers that the Gemara gave over the last blot were in fact correct, and you should not assume that this is a separate machlokes tanoi. Good. Amar Rav Simba Rashi. Lo shana ela b'shos. So we'll say, let's go back now for just a moment to Eidos. Lo shana ela b'shos. So we'll say, ultimately, again, when do you allow for some level of discrepancy between the times that the Eidim are discussing? That's only ultimately, again, when by hours. Let's say, again, so Eid number one says it happened in the second hour. Eid number two said it happened in the third hour. Aval echad omer kodum neitzachamo, ve'echad omer achar neitzachamo, idusam p'tilo. We'll say, if Reuven says the murder happened before sunrise, and Shimon says the murder happened after sunrise, the Eidos is bottle. To which the Gemara says, pshita. Okay, we'll say that. That's obvious. Remember again, we already said that yesterday. Where did we say that yesterday? Remember, which hours?
Night and
right? Night and day, even fifth hour and seventh hour. I also have to remember, again, even hours where the sun is in a clearly different position in the sky. So fifth hour and sixth and seventh hour don't reconcile. Then, of course, night and day don't reconcile. And, of course, before and after sunrise. Listen to this. Rather, what's the case? Let's say Reuven says, I saw the murder, and the murder took place before Netzach Hamo. And Shimon says, I saw the murder, and the murder took place during Netzach Hamo, during sunrise. So the Gemara says, do some potato. So ultimately, again, their Eidos is bottled, to which the Gemara says, Hanami Peshita. But again, that's obvious as well. We'll say, in general, any time that they contradict each other regarding an objectively observable time frame, of course it is not going, the Eidos is going to be bottle. This is very interesting. Because what would you have thought? Tarvayu chadam milsakar. We'll say, maybe when Reuven says before Netzach Hamo, and Shimon says in Netzach Hamo, really they're really saying the same thing. Vahad de ka'amar, top of Yud Gimel b'soch Netzach Hamo, when Shimon says that it happened b'soch in Netzach Hamo, really what he was saying is as follows, b'giluya havakai, v'zaharure ba'amohu dechaza. Bosei, what he called in sunrise was really just the beginning glows of dawn. But ultimately, again, it was the initial glows of the sun, but it wasn't really sunrise, it was before sunrise. But because ultimately, again, he begins to see the glow, right? The shine of the sun, or the glow really of the horizon, that he calls that Besoch Netzach Hamo. But he really means Lifnei Netzach Hamo, and therefore they're really saying the same thing. To which the Gemara says, Kamash Malo, no. They will say, again, at a certain point in time, which was in yesterday's daf, you know, we could reconcile a little bit, but when people say things that are objectively at odds with each other, remember again, especially in capital cases, we do not go out of our way to reconcile testimony. So if one says Besoch Netzach Hamo, one says Kodem Netzach Hamo, the two testimonies do not reconcile with one another, and therefore their Eidos is bottle. Amarav Nachman, Amarav. We'll say, here we go. Halacha Rabbi Huda. So we'll say Rav says the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. We'll say, remember again, namely, that's what? That halacha lemaisa. The timeline for Erev Pesach is you eat through the fourth hour, tolin, suspend, which means you can't eat, but you can get hana'ah during the fifth hour, and ultimately, again, burn during the sixth hour. Says the Gemara, Amrali Rava, the Rav Nachman. So Rav said, Rav, so we'll say this, Rav Nachman said the name of Rav, the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. Amrali Rav the Rav Nachman. So Rav said to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. The name Amar Halacha Rabbi Meir. I don't understand. Why don't you say the halacha follows Rabbi Meir? After all, Rabbi Meir says what? Eat through the fifth up until the sixth, and you burn at the beginning of the sixth. That's it. Rabbi Meir just says there already is a rabbinic buffer built into this. There is no need to back up the buffer into hour number five. Unnecessary. So says Rav to Rav Nachman, why don't you say the halacha follows Rabbi Meir? After all, again, the Stam Lon Tanakh Kavase, because there is a Braisa, Stam Mishnah, that supports Rabbi Meir. We'll say now, remember again, in general, a Stam Mishnah is considered to be authoritative, right? A Stam Mishnah, right? The Mishnah without attribution is generally considered to be an authoritative Mishnah. The Gemara says, Disnan, Kol Shoshem, Utrelechom Machil, because we'll say, remember again, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, any hour that you are permitted to go ahead and eat, you are also permitted to go ahead and feed your animals. So if you look at Rashi, I will say the Rashi says over here, "Dastam lon tanok avase disnan kol shoshu motulechol machil lebehema lechaya ulofos demashma kisheino motulechol ino machil." I will say. So remember again, according to this Mishnah, the Mishnah says any time that you're allowed to go ahead and eat, you can feed your animals, which of course tells us that what? If you can't eat, then you can't feed your animals. So we'll say, so remember, that Mishnah does not work, which is another way of saying, when you can eat, you can get Hana. When you can't eat, you can't get Hana. Now we'll say, that does not work according to who? It doesn't work according to Rabbi Huda. Because according to Rabbi Huda, there is an hour on Erev Pesach when what? When you can't eat, but you can get Hana. What hour is that according to Rabbi Huda? Hour number five. So the Mishnah indicates to me, listen, whenever you can eat, you can get Hana. And whenever you can get Hana, you can eat. Which sounds like Rabbi Meir, which sounds like, again, you can do anything you want with chametz up through the end of the fifth hour, beginning the sixth hour, halacha lemaisa, chametz is aser. To which the Gemara says, So I have a stam Mishnah that seems to support the position of Rabbi Meir. So Rav Nachman, why are you saying ultimately the halacha is Rabbi Huda? I have a stam Mishnah that supports Rabbi Meir. To which the Gemara says, no. Hahi lav stamahu. This is actually not a good and authoritative stam Mishnah. Why? Mishum dekashya mutar. Because Rabbi say, as we're going to see, this is the next parak in Pesachim. We're going to see this, that the Gemara is bothered by the lashon of mutter. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is mishum dekashya mutter. Para kol shah makshinan kol shah she'ochal machil mi boile. Umutter mashma kol shah she'mutter adam acher lechol machil ze ha'aser lechol. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara is going to challenge this Mishnah because the Mishnah should have just said kol shah she'ochal machil. Whenever you could eat, you can feed. Why does it say kol shah she'mutter? So we'll say that is an extra word. So in fact, the Gemara is going to discuss that this is actually the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, who brings up this idea that as long as a kohen is permitted to eat truma, ultimately, again, a Yisrael could give chulun to his behemoth. So the Gemara says, take this Mishnah off the table, because this Mishnah actually turns out is talking about a different type of topic, and not even Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, but in fact, the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Fine, so we remove that Mishnah. I have a name of my halach, Rabbi Gamliel, Davili Machria. Why don't you adopt the position of Rabbi Gamliel? Because Rabbi Gamliel seems to be a compromise position. Rabbi say, remember again, we had three opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says you could eat through the fifth hour up until the sixth. Rabbi Yehuda, eat until the end of the fourth hour, suspend what we call tolin during the fifth, and then burn during the sixth. And then Rabbi Gamliel came along. And Rabbi Gamliel said, you could eat chulin until the end of the fourth hour, truma until the end of the fifth hour, and burn at the sixth hour. So remember again, Rabbi Gamliel, there was, as we're going to see, why does Rabbi Gamliel go ahead and make a distinction between truma and chulin? We're going to see if I didn't mention this in the Mishnah, but I'm sure intuitively you understand, which is that we don't like to burn kachim, right? We don't like to burn consecrated items if we don't have to. So Rabbi Meir will say, let's give an extra hour for truma consumption before we have to burn any leftover chametz truma. So why don't we say, let's adopt the position of Rabbi Gamliel? Because Rabbi Gamliel seems to be a nice compromise position, right? He goes ahead and says, you can eat chulin until the end of the fourth. That's like Rabbi Huda, right? But yet at the end of the day, he says, gives another hour for truma. That's like Rabbi Meir. And burns at the beginning of the sixth. That's the divrei hakol, right? Everybody agrees with that. To which the Gemara says, Amarle Rabbi Gamliel lav machriyahu. No. Rabbi Gamliel is not a compromise position. Tam dinaf shekam. Rabbi Gamliel is espousing actually a separate position. I will say, he is not coming to be the middle ground between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Gamliel, in fact, is his own shita. To which the Gemara said, Vibayzema, Rav Damar ki haitana. I will say, the other possibility is that when Rav said that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda, he is actually following another tana. The Sanyo, Arba, we'll see a very interesting case. Arba asar shechalios b'shabbos. We'll say this is always a fact. This is probably one of the most interesting situations, right? Erev Pesach, which falls on Shabbos. So what happens when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos? Mevarin es hakol milifnei Shabbos. We'll say, of course, beer chametz is done before Shabbos. Beer chametz is done before Shabbos, right? So you destroy your chametz before Shabbos. V'sarfin chumos tmeos. Tuluyos utahoros, and I will say you burn everything, right? So if you have truma that's tame, or taloi tuluya means, I will say truma tuluya means truma that is of doubtful tuma. You're just not sure of the tuma. It might be tame, might not be tame. Utahoros, and ultimately again truma tohoros. So essentially, any chametz, even if it's truma, you burn erev Shabbos. Umashirin minat tohoros mazon shtei seudos, and I will say leave over for Shabbos what? Two meals worth. And I will say, you go and you leave over mazon shtei seudos. You leave over enough food for two meals on Shabbos. And you have to finish everything by the end of the fourth hour on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, ish bar tosu shon Rabbi Yoshua. So we'll say, ultimately, again, so you see that halacha lemaisi, leave over that. So therefore, okay. So Amrlo toros lo yisrafu, shema yimatsu lahen ochlin. So we'll say, so they said back to Rabbi Elazar, you know what? you shouldn't burn Truma Torah. So we'll see, here's what Rabbi Elazar is saying. Halacha l'maaseh, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. So what do? Pretty much, Erev Shabbos, burn everything. Burn it down, right? Burn everything. So we'll say, what does it mean, burn everything? If you have Chametz Truma, whether it's Truma Tahora, Truma Temea, Truma Teluya, right? So again, Truma Teluya means possible Tuma. Truma Temea means, Vadai Tame, certainly Tame. And of course, Truma Tahora, you're going to burn any chametz that you have. You leave over ultimately enough food for two seudos on Shabbos. Finish eating by the end of the 4th hour. So first of all, say, for our purposes, that's the proof, right? The fact that Rabbi Elazar says you have to finish chametz by the end of the 4th hour, that is a proof to Rabbi Huda. They say to Rabbi Elazar, you know what? Don't burn the Truma Tahora on Erev Shabbos. Because maybe you'll find the Kohen over Shabbos, and the Kohen can eat the Truma Tahora. No need to destroy totally tahar truma before the actual shas iser. So the Gemara says, Amar lahen kvar bikshu v'lo matzu. No, the case in question is they already looked for kohanim to go ahead and eat the truma on Erev Shabbos, and they were unable to find any kohanim to eat the truma. So of course, we'll say whenever you could find a kohen to consume the truma Torah, of course you'd rather do that than burn the truma. But in the case in question, they looked for a kohen, they couldn't find the kohen. If you can't find the kohen, you burn the truma Torah. Amru lo shema chutz lochom alanu. So they said, well, maybe the kohen was outside of the wall on Erev Shabbos, so they didn't see him, but he's going to come into the city on Shabbos itself, and therefore maybe you'll find the kohen. Therefore, don't be so quick to burn the Truma Torah. Amar lahem, l'divreichem, af teluyos lo yisrafu. So Rabbi Elazar says to them, well, if that's the case, we shouldn't burn Truma Teluya either. Right? Rabbi Elazar says Truma Teluya is doubtful Tuma. Right? Suffolk Tuma. Suffolk Tami Truma. Or Suffolk Truma Temeya. We shouldn't burn that either. Why shouldn't we burn it? Listen to this. Shema Yava Elio, v'itari. Maybe Elio and Avi will come. And maybe, again, he will tell us that the Truma of Teluya is, in fact, totally tahar and fit for consumption. So, if you're going to tell me that maybe a kohen is going to appear on Shabbos and eat the Truma Torah, you know what? I shouldn't burn the Truma Teluya either. Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and he will certify that the Truma Teluya is, in fact, tahar. So they say to him, Amru lo, no. Kavar muftach lehen li Yisrael, she'ein Eliyahu ba, lo ba'arvei shabbosos v'lo ba'arvei yomim tovim mipnei ha-torach. So we'll say, we learned this before, we have a mesora that Eliyahu HaNavi will not come on Erev Shabbos, nor will he come on Erev Yom Tov, ultimately, again, because of the Torah. I will say, because of the hardship that would impose. And I will say that halacha l'maisa, since ultimately, again, people are very busy with their Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov preparations, therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, Eliyahu HaNavi will not come on those days. So we'll say, There's two lessons to be learned here. Number one, I'm just pausing for just a moment. Number one, how careful a person has to be with their Erev Shabbos preparations, and how a person should really take Erev Shabbos seriously. I will say, think about this for just a moment. You know what? If Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos, if it's that important for Eliyahu HaNavi that a person be ready for Shabbos, don't fly in the house 10 minutes before Shabbos. And don't be running late on Erev Shabbos. People, if you plan ahead enough, barring unforeseen emergencies, you should be ready for Shabbos like a mensch. Should be at shul on time. Come into Shabbos benachas recha. We'll say, think about this just a moment. If Eliyahu HaNavi says that Erev Shabbos preparations are important enough that I will not come to herald in the period of messianic redemption on Erev Shabbos, because I don't want to share people's Shabbos preparations, I will say. Can you imagine that? Chesh Baruch Hu's ready to send Mashiach. It's Erev Shabbos. No, can't come. Can't come. Jews have to be ready for Shabbos. So if the Geula is not going to come on Erev Shabbos, because Erev Shabbos preparations are, so we're saying, that tells us how we have to approach Erev Shabbos. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes in Ala Tshuva, in a footnote, I've mentioned this before, he said, you know, one of the things that he misses most about his youth is, he says, in America, he said, there are many Shomer Shabbos. He said, but in America, what I have yet to find, and I was writing this long ago, a number of decades ago, I have yet to find Shomrei Erev Shabbos. He says that when I was a boy, right, already again, Thursday night, you began to feel a sense of Shabbos. And Friday, people would walk around almost in a partial state of Shabbos. He said, Shabbos starts when Shabbos starts. And Erev Shabbos often is just another day. The yisod of being a Shomer Erev Shabbos, to be the kind of person that realizes that Erev Shabbos of Friday has one essence. And that is to be properly ready for Shabbos Kodesh and to plan our days accordingly and not to be running last minute and not to go ahead and run into Shabbos in such a way that I can't catch my breath and I make it to shul later, I don't make it to shul or whatever it might be. No, person has to figure out a way, even if you have to get up much earlier, to go ahead and go into be a Shomer Erev Shabbos. If Eliyahu HaNavi's not going to come, then I have to be ready in an appropriate way. I'll tell you one last piece, then we'll go on. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something amazing. But what about, I've always found this Gemara to be very depressing. That means that today, Geula's off the table. Geula's off the table. You know, we won't come today. What a terrible way to look at the day. So the Baal Shem Tov says something so beautiful. He says, all the Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi won't come. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't choose to bypass Eliyahu and just go right to Mashiach. You know, it's very important to understand. Geula could come any day. Geula will come any day. Under normal circumstances, Eliyahu will come. Eliyahu says, I'm not going to shter Erev Shabbos. The Ribon Shalom, if he wants to bring the Geula, he'll say, Eliyahu, I totally get it. You sit, you relax, you know, till I'm out, enjoy, fine. You know what? I'm bringing the Geula without you. So never think for a moment there's any day in which Mashiach can't come. Hopefully it'll happen with Eliyahu HaNavi, but if it needs to happen today, it'll happen without him as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, my love. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, come over God. So, good. Amr lo lo zazum misham, ash kava lo krab lo zazum ben Yehuda, ish bar tosa, shem misham bi Yoshua. So both say, the Gemara says, they didn't move from there until they established the halacha like Rabbi Elazar. So both say, therefore again, what does that tell us? My love, afilu lecho. Rabbi Elazar, and I remember again, Rabbi Elazar said a number of things. He told us, first of all, again, he told us really a couple of major things. Number one, that when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, what you do is you burn pretty much all your chametz on Erev Shabbos. The only thing you leave over is what? Is what? Mazon shtei sudos. Enough chametz for two meals. Enough chametz for two meals. But you burn everything else on Erev Shabbos. So we'll say, what else did he tell us? That you only eat your chametz until the end of the fourth hour. And they said the halacha follows Rebbe Lazar. Shabbos said, doesn't that mean also, not only for the burning of chametz Erev Shabbos, but also what? That you can only eat chametz until the end of the fourth hour. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. To which the Gemara says, no, I'm Rabbi Mishayd Rabbi Lo Levayer. No, they establish halacha like Rebbe Lazar, namely, that you burn all of the chametz on Erev Shabbos. All of the chametz on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, Rabbi said, even the Truma Tahora, which normally, again, we are reticent to burn Truma Tahora early, because again, we'd much rather find the coin to consume it than burn perfectly good Truma. But again, halacha lemaisa, when Erev Pesach is Shabbos, we will even burn the Truma before Shabbos. The Gemara says, Va'af Rebbe Sabar. So we'll say, I just want to point out, it's not for now, there's so much to do on this. Let's say, what's fascinating about this Gemara? So the Gemara says, how much food do you leave over for Shabbos? Two meals. What's intriguing about that? There's a chiv of shalosh sudos on Shabbos. So I will say, the Rush brings down on this, and it's really quite amazing. The Tshuva Sarash brings down. He says, you see from here that according to the Gemara, you can't have shalosh sudos before chatzos. The Rabbi say, you can't have the third meal on Shabbos before midday. That's why the Gemara says that halacha lemaisa, only mazon shtei sudos. You'll eat your Shabbos night meal. You'll eat your Shabbos morning meal. But apparently, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, shalosh sudos is not possible. Now, Rabbi say, we know the Magen Avraham brings down, but no, that's a machlokes. That's a machlokes. There are opinions that say, no, you could even have shalosh sudos. And I will say, this is important, because let's say again, especially like, let's say you daven early on Shabbos morning. Let's say you daven early on Shabbos morning. You come home from shul. You daven ashkam, you come home from shul, it's 9 o'clock. You wash. You decide to have breakfast with hamotzi. Then you chapa, right? And especially on short Shabbos. Then you have lunch. By 1 o'clock, I'm done with shalosh sudos. So according to the Rush, you cannot do that. According to the Rush, halacha lemaisa, shalosh sudos must be after chatzos. Now, the Magen Avraham brings down, he says, no, you could have shalosh sudos before chatzos as well. It's a machlokes. So in general, on a regular Shabbos, we do not have shalosh sudos before chatzos. We're makbi not to have. The one exception, says the Magen Avraham, is Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. So we'll say, we do this halacha lemaisa. When Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, what do we do? What do we do? In fact, we go ahead and we wash, we stop our meal, we bench, right? Mishnah Berurah says, you take a walk around the block, right? You get up, you leave your house, you come back, and you wash again. And remember, all of this is happening before Chatzos. So on a regular Shabbos, one should be makbid not to have shalosh sudos before Chatzos. But ultimately, again, on Erev Pesach, which falls on Shabbos, the one time of year that we have shalosh sudos before Chatzos. Good, says the Gemara. Vaf Rabbi Savar Lahadir Rav Nachman, Dam Rabin Baravada, Maisaba Adam Echrabo say this is a great case. Maisaba Adam Echad, Shehifkid, the Sakya Malayev Chametz, Eitel Yochanan Chakuka. So let's listen to this. There was once a guy who left a sack, right, a bag filled with Chametz by Yochanan Chakuka. Good. Vinakvua Achbarim, by Chametz Mevatzvates Biyotze. So we'll say what happened. So mice got into the bag, ripped a hole in the bag, and the chametz is pouring out of the bag. Ubalifnei Rebbe, Shah Rishonah. So we'll say what happens. Now, Yochanan Chakuka comes before Rebbe. He's like, what am I supposed to do? So listen to this. He came to him in the first hour of the day. Amar lo hamtein, ultimately I didn't wait. Now we'll say what Rebbe was telling Yochanan Chakuka was, listen, wait, maybe the owner's still going to come back before this man of Isser, and I'll take back his chametz. Shnia amar lo hamtein, second hour, wait. Shlishis amr lahamtein, so revius amr lahamtein, chamishis. So he told him to first hour wait, second hour wait, third hour wait, fourth hour wait. So the guy Yochanan Chakuka comes back to Rebbe in the fifth hour. Amr leitzei umochra bishuk, go out and sell the chametz. We're going to learn about this halacha. It's quite fascinating. So Rebbe tells Yochanan Chakuka, now it's the fifth hour, Rabosai, go out and sell the chametz. Now Rabosai, remember again, Yochanan Chakuka is selling whose chametz? Not his. And I must remember again, the case of his Yochanan Chakuka was what called, was watching Reuven's chametz. Was watching Reuven's chametz. It's Erev Pesach, Reuven's not back. Yochanan goes to Rebbe, what should I do? First hour wait, second hour wait, third hour wait, fourth hour wait, fifth hour? Go out and sell it. So the Gemara says, sell it to who? My love, Lenochan Kabi, who Dar Am Rav Yosef. We'll say, it must be everyone's telling him, go and sell it to Goyim. Right, go and sell it to a Gentile. It's the fifth hour already. You can't go ahead and sell it to a Jew, right? Because he passed like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's telling him to sell it to a guy. Rabbi said, this backs up the assertion that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, that already by hour number five, a Jew is not permitted to eat chametz, to which the Umar says, lo li Yisrael k'Rabbi Meir. Not necessarily. Maybe Rabbi was telling Yochanan Chakuka in hour number five to go out and sell it to a Jew. Amar le Abaye ili Yisrael nishkali lenafshei. But again, if Rebbe's telling Yochanan Chakuka in the fifth hour to go and sell it to a Jew, let Yochanan Chakuka buy it himself and let him go ahead and consume the chametz before the Shas Isser. We'll say, watch this. Mishum Chashada. And we'll say, ultimately again, out of this issue of Chashad, of suspicion. So we'll say, ultimately again, it looks like there's a word for it. Not a self-serving transaction, but there's, what is it? Self-dealing. Looks like self-dealing. Thank you. Looks like a self-dealing transaction. Listen to this. We'll say, this is actually incredible halacha. Disanya, gabayt staka she'in lemaniyim, lechalik. We'll say, a gabayt staka who has no poor to whom to distribute money. We'll say, what a bracha. What a bracha. Halavai, the gabayt staka she'bi zocha. There are no moraniyim. There's no ani to give money to. So we'll say, what happens? Part of the chen. So we'll say, just to understand, what used to happen is as follows. The gabbai tzedaka would often be given large coins, and what he would do is he would get change. He would get change. They will say the change they often got were like smaller coins made of copper. The problem is that copper erodes. So what would happen is if the gabbai tzedaka had no aniyim, what he would want to do is he'd want to exchange the smaller copper coins for larger silver coins. So the Gemara says, in part on the Atzman, the gabbai tzedaka should not exchange copper coins with his. Let's say the gabbai tzedaka happens to have some silver coins. He should not exchange his money for tzedaka money. What I both say, because ultimately, essentially, his money and the tzedaka money should not commingle in any way. Even though, again, there's nothing wrong happening over here, right? There's absolutely nothing wrong that's happening over here. But nevertheless, it has the appearance of self-dealing. Similarly, gabay tamchoy, shenamani mechalik. So let's listen to this. Let's say you run the soup kitchen. You run the soup kitchen in Baruch Hashem. There are no aniyim. There are no aniyim. So you have all this food. What should you do? So go sell it. All right, so try to recapture the cost. Sell the food. So the Gemara says, you should not go. If you're in charge of the soup kitchen, you should not buy the food yourself. Why not? Shenemar v'yisem nikiyim me'asham yisro. I will say the concept of v'yisem nikiyim. You should be clean. Literally, again, be nucky, be clean. I will say that don't engage in anything that has the appearance of self-dealing, especially when it comes to communal funds. So I'll say, interestingly enough, so Yochanan Chakuka, who was entrusted to go ahead and watch the sack filled with chametz, it wouldn't be a pro. So just so you understand what's happening over here, because we're going to get into the sugya. This is fascinating. What happens over here is you have a Jew who's watching chametz for another Jew. for another Jew, as we're going to see. So we'll say, now what happens? Reuben was supposed to pick up his chametz Erev Pesach morning. It's now the fifth hour, coming up on the fifth hour, and Reuben's nowhere in sight. So what do I do? What do I do? So we'll discuss ramifications over here, but Rebbe says to Yochanan Chakozasin, go sell it. Go sell it. All right, Machlokis, who's telling him to sell it to? To a Jew, to a Gentile, but go sell it. Recapture the money, but you can't buy it yourself because you were entrusted to watch it. And if you buy it, it has the appearance of self-dealing. Amalei Rav Ada bar Masla Rav Yosef. Beferush amark lon tsei umochron lenochron krab Yehuda. So this is very interesting. So Rav Ada bar Masla said to Rav Yosef, Rebbe, when you taught us this case, you explicitly told us that Rebbe told Yochanan Chakuka, go out and sell the chametz to Goyim in accordance with the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say this story backs up the position of Rabbi Yehuda, namely that come hour number five, chametz is prohibited in consumption. So we'll say, remember again, we've seen this now, and it's amazing how many times we've seen this. Remember, so Rav Ada bar Masa son Rav Yosef, Rabbi, you taught us. We'll say, remember again, what happened to Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef forgot all of his learning. He forgot all of it. So whenever you see one of these statements of one of the Talmidim tells Rabbi Yosef, they're saying they're reminding their Rebbe of what their Rebbe taught them. It's absolutely amazingly heartbreaking, but beautiful at the same time. That relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud is like a child with an ailing parent. Just like a child with an ailing parent will help the parent up the stairs, will help the parent remember things. The Talmud with the ailing Rebbe helps Rebbe. Rebbe, you taught us this. Amazing. So both say, so therefore again, it appears two things happened over here. Number one, we've established that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, again, eat until the end of hour number four, tolin, suspend hour number five, and burn hour number six. I'm Rabbi Yosef, kiman az lahashmaisa, did Rabbi Kirv Shem Gamliel. I both say, so when Rebbe told Rabbi Yochanan Chakuka that, listen, you're watching another Jew's chametz, it's coming up at hour number five, go out and sell it to Nachrim. So both say, where did Rebbe get that advice? Apparently that is based on the position of Shem Gamliel. The son of both say is very interesting. Hamafkid peros etzel chavero, afilu hein avudun lo yigabahen. So both listen to this. Let's say, Reuven deposits his fruit with me to watch his fruit. And I see the fruit is spoiling. The fruit is spoiling. And Reuven is not back. And let's say it's spoiled, not through any fault of my own. Not through any fault of my own. The fruit's just spoiling. And I see that what's going to happen over here is by the time Reuven gets back, there's going to be some significant spoilage. So the Gemara says, don't touch it. It's not your business. You were asked to watch it. That's all. As long as you're not negligent in any way, don't do anything with the fruit. Rav Shigan Liolomer, mochren bebezin bepnei hashava saveda. Wow. Rav Shigan Liolomer says, we'll say no. That you have to sell it. Now remember, you should sell it. I will say, why are you selling it? The Gemara says, Mishum Hashavas Aveda. Now this is very important. So whenever we think about Hashavas, how do we think about Hashavas Aveda? How do we normally think about that? Right? I lost my wallet. You find my wallet in the street. You did this of returning a lost object. I will say, there is another dimension of Hashavas Aveda, which is saving someone from loss is also Hashavas Aveda. For example, I walk by your house and I see you left the hose running. The hose running. And I see the water is pouring right by your basement window. I have a halachic obligation to go and turn off that hose. Right? Why? Because I have an obligation not only to return your lost objects, but also to help prevent you from experiencing loss. Sefer Shilmiel says, if I'm watching Reuven's produce, and I see the spoilage happening right in front of me, I have an obligation to step in and to prevent you from, if I do nothing, your fruit are going to rot, you're going to suffer a loss. I have the ability to prevent your loss. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, therefore you should sell it. But what we don't want is me selling it on my own, because then there's the concern of self-dealing. So what do? I go to Beis Din, I tell Beis Din what's happening, and I sell the produce under the auspices, ultimately, of Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abai V'lav Itmar Alo Amar Abar Achan Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shanu Ela Amadeis Bichtei Chesronan. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, and even the first opinion, who says you should do nothing with the fruit when it's spoiling, that's only when it's normal spoilage. So we'll say, there's always an assumption that whenever you deposit produce of some sort, there's always going to be some amount of spoilage. And that's normal. So if it's, the first opinion will say, if it's the normal amount of spoilage, don't touch it. But of course, if for some reason the produce is experiencing excessive spoilage, then Enochinami, everybody will agree that the person watching the produce should sell it. But I will say again, in order to satisfy the criteria of Yisen Nikiyim, to be totally clean, right? To be totally above board, no perception of self-dealing, you sell it ultimately again under the auspices of Beis. And I will say, it happens to be, we don't have time for it now, but this discussion in general, we'll say, if I'm watching chametz for a Jew, halacha l'maisa now, he was supposed to pick it up already before Pesach. For some reason, he's not here. And the Zman Isra is coming. But also, let's analyze this. If I do nothing with the chametz, what happens? If I do nothing? So let's remember again. If I do nothing, so I could do bittel, and I don't have responsibility for it. The problem is, Reuven will lose out. Why? It's going to be what's called chametz sha'avar laves ha-pesach, which we'll discuss. Chametz owned by a Jew is aser b'hano after Pesach as well. So we'll say, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says, again, the case is more complicated, and we'll actually get into this case more, but the Shulchan Aruch says, if you are holding chametz for a Jew on Erev Pesach, and that Jew has not come to reclaim the chametz, you should sell it, Erev Pesach, in order to avoid loss. Sell it. Again, if you could do it with Bezin, you have to do it with Bezin, but if it's Erev Pesach and there's not time, you sell it. Try to recapture as much of the money for the produce as you can, and therefore save the Jew from suffering the loss. Now, we'll say, a lot of these halachas are different today because we rely heavily on mechiras chametz. As you're going to see, whenever the Gemara seeks out getting rid of chametz before Pesach, there's no concept of mechira. If you notice, by the way, these discussions, right, even the burning of all of the stuff on Erev Pesach, there's no reliance. Mechira is a concept that came up. The Gemara is going to discuss it, but it was a concept that was reserved for some very extreme circumstances. Mechiras chametz only enjoyed much broader application later on in Jewish history. So whenever the Gemara talks about these concepts, the Gemara is just assuming you're destroying chametz. And whatever you don't destroy, ultimately, again, is going to be aser after Pesach. So the Gemara goes weiter. Then the Mishnah goes on to discuss the interesting way that the Mishnah said they had two loaves, right? Two toda loaves that they would put on the itztiba in the Beis HaMikdash. And remember again, when there were two loaves, what was the halacha? Two loaves said what? You could eat. One loaf said, can't eat, but kigehana. Removal of both loaves said, time to burn chametz. It says, digimartani tanakami Rabbi Yehuda, al-gava itztiva. So they said, Rabbi Yehuda, they would put the chametz on the itztiva. So just to understand, the itztiva was like a roofed area on the periphery of the Beis HaMikdash. So what would happen, the point of the itztiva, it was a place that had a roof. It also had benches. So it was a place where you could sit down. Right? I will say it's interesting. This is where, by the way, you know how the Mishnah in Sukkah says that when Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, first day of Sukkot, they would bring their lulavim and esrogim to the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Shabbos. So where would they place it? They would place it in the itztiva. So this was an area around the periphery that was roofed and also had chairs as well as some cubbies. And after they were, so the Mishnah sounds like they were placed the lachmei toda. They would go ahead and place the toda loaves on the itztiva. Now, I will say, now the first opinion says on a chair of the itztiva, to which the Gemara says, Amar le bechilas nyan hu tzarech. Again, if the loaves, Mesh asked this to me when we did this Mishnah, right? If the loaves are there to serve as a sign, so that means people have to see it. If you're putting it on a chair on the itztiva, then how does anyone see that? To which the Gemara says, "V'chilas nianu tzarif tani agag ha'itztiva." So we'll say, interestingly enough, they would place the lachmei toda, right, the loaves of the toda, on the roof of the itztiva. Oh, so we'll say now this makes a lot more sense. So now they're placing it on an elevation, on the roof of the itztiva, so people could see it. Amar Achba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Harabayis, Stav Kafal Hayas. So also Rabbi Yehuda says, in fact, the Harabayis, Stav Kafal Hayas means, in fact, there were two, you know, itztiva, going back to our Erevin days a little bit, is almost like a roofed pergola. But what happens is they actually had two roofed pergolas. There was one pergola on top of another pergola, so it was two levels. They would put the lachmei toda, these toda loaves, on the top roof of the top pergola. Tanya Mihachi, Harabai Stav Kafal Haya, it was a double pergola. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Istavanis Haisanikris. It was called Istavanis Stav Livni Mistav. So what's interestingly enough, what turns out is they would put these two toda loaves on the top roof of the top pergola. So therefore, I will say it was actually quite an elevation. Now, still, it's interesting to see how many people would actually be able to see that, right? But interestingly enough, now at least you understand it wasn't in a chair. in the Itztava, but ultimately again was on the roof of the Itztava. So remember again, the Mishnah then says, and by the way, right, these were large loaves. You're thinking about like a little challah. These were much larger loaves. And also remember, people would see the Kohen or whoever it was that was going up there, coming up, coming down. So the Maisa, when two were there, you could eat and use chametz. Once taken off, you could use hana, but no achila. Both taken off, time to burn. So the Gemara says, psulos. The Mishnah said, they used two invalid toda loaves. So what's this? This is fascinating. Am I psulos? I don't understand. Why do you have to say two invalid toda? Why puzzle? Says the Gemara, this is fascinating. Rabbi Chanina, mitok shalim merubos, nifsos merubos. Remember again, when you bring a toda, there are 40 loaves that are brought with the toda. Which meant that by definition, if you are bringing a toda erev Pesach, or sometimes somewhere close to Pesach, it's quite possible and probable that you had leftover bread. So just by pashtos, they had. Rabbi said, remember again, a toda could be consumed when the day you bring it and the night you could bring it. Right? Rabbi said, you can't go ahead. Unlike other kabbalas which have a longer toda, just has the morning and the night. Rabbi said, you know why? You know what the pshat? What that is? Why does a toda have such a small window of consumption? You bring a toda as a carbon for Thanksgiving, for gratitude for something. It will say, so there's this very small window for consumption because, well, more than just gratitude. In other words, that halacha lemaaseh said when you're safe from something. So Lydia Sikker edition brings down because the concept is that every single day you have to have gratitude for something else. Right? Meaning your gratitude for what happened today doesn't extend until tomorrow. Tomorrow, you got to find something else to have gratitude for. So that is one of the shortest windows of consumption, even though there's a voluminous amount of loaves. So the Gemara says, this is actually fascinating. You can't bring a carbon toda on Pesach. This is very interesting because the carbon toda, the loaves were chametz. The Gemara says, pshita. That's obvious. Listen to this Gemara. Oh, no. It goes without saying that you can't bring a carbon toda on Pesach. When else can't you bring a carbon toda? This is fascinating. When? On Erev Pesach. Why not, Rabosai? Because Bakasavra ain Mavin culturally based upsul. Because we'll say if you bring a carbon toda on Erev Pesach, what by definition is gonna happen? You are going to invalidate the loaves. Because we'll say there's no way that anyone is finishing up all of that in time. So therefore the halacha is you are not allowed to bring a carbon in a way where you know that the remnants of the carbon are going to become disqualified. So this is fascinating. We do not bring carbon toda on Erev Pesach. Because the window for consumption is not supposed to say. By the way, where does this find the expression halacha lemaisa for us? We don't say mizmor lesodan erev Pesach. Why don't we say mizmor lesodan erev Pesach? Because I will say the carbon is going to be on the bechina. Because they'll say ultimately again, because the carbon toda was not brought on erev Pesach. This is it. This is why we don't say mizmor lesoda. Quite incredible. So says the Gemara. Therefore, I will say the last time you ever brought a carbon toda was on the 13th of Nisan. This is incredible. The last time you would bring a carbon toda before Erev Pesach was the 13th. The Gemara says, "Umitoch shem merubos nifsos bolino." But even when you brought on the 13th, inevitably there were leftover loaves. So we'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara is saying as a matter of practicality, they use the leftover loaves. Again, you couldn't do anything with those leftover loaves anyway. Remember again, once, if you bring your carbon, let's say again, if you bring your carbon toda on the 13th, once you come to the morning of the 14th, you can't eat those loaves anyway. So just be pashtus about it. Just you have to understand historically. Remember, when would people bring these karbanos, a carbon toda or a chatas? Often you wouldn't make a separate trip to Yerushalayim. When would you bring it? When you were being olaregel anyway. When you were coming anyway for Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkis. That's when you would satisfy all of your obligatory offerings anyway. So you would come up to Yerushalayim a day early, come on the 13th, offer up your carbon toda. He had a whole bunch of people bringing carbon todos. So be pashtus said, the Gemara comes the morning of the 14th, when already these loaves become disqualified. They probably had a ton of disqualified toda loaves. So be pashtus, even though you can't consume it, use it for some type of mitzvah purpose. And halacha lemaisa, they would use the loaves ultimately for this as the public reminder for this man chametz. Says Mamshun Rabbi Amruk Shero Sayu. So Rabbi says no. In fact, they used to use toda loaves that were kosher. The Gemara says Ela the Ela my karlu psulos. So ultimately, against why do you call them pasul loaves? Shol nishchat alein hazebach. Because we're talking about loaves, or we'll say that were set aside to be lachmei toda, toda loaves, but their accompanying carbon toda was never shechted. To which the Gemara says, "Vinechshat." So why don't you vinechshat? So why don't you just go ahead and shech the Karmel Torah? What's the problem? Shavar azevach. Because ultimately, again, what happened? We'll say these are loaves that were set aside for a particular Karmel Torah. But then, what happened? The carbon itself was lost. The carbon itself was lost. I vinaisi zevach acher vinechshot. So bring another carbon. So we'll say, let these loaves be attached to another carbon. Go ahead and just shech them with another carbon. Damar zu toda v'zu lachma. Because what's the case in question was where a person went ahead and dafka set aside, and they said, this is the carbon toda, and these are the accompanying loaves. In this kind of case, if you go ahead and you lose the loaves, you can always replace the loaves. Of the toda, it may be toda acharas, but if you lose the animal, you don't bring another carbon toda. Why not? My time, lechem galal toda, ve'in toda galal lechem. Because I will say, the bread comes as a result of the carbon, but the carbon doesn't come as a result, ultimately, again, of the bread. So therefore, I will say, it could very well be that the case in question was a situation where the lechem and toda were set aside to be offered up with a specific carbon toda, and that carbon was lost. Well, if that carbon is lost, there's nothing to do with the lachmei toda. They're totally fine, but you can't do anything with them. So those are the loaves that they used ultimately again for this Erev Yom Tov reminder. I v'nifrakinu v'nafkinu l'chulin. So why don't you just redeem them? Why don't you redeem the loaves and use the loaves for, let them be chulin. Ela li'olam sh'nishchat alein ha'zebach. Now then we'll say, what's the case? The case is where, no, the carbon toda was offered. And what happened? V'nishbach adam. We'll say, what happened? You had a carbon toda, you had the accompanying loaves. You were about to go ahead and sprinkle the blood on the mizbech, and we'll say, what happened? The kohen accidentally spilled the blood. So we'll say, remember again, the zrika is the ikar avoda. Zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, is the core avoda that ultimately, again, permits a carbon for consumption. If zrika doesn't happen, you can't go. The carbon is pretty much invalid. So the case over here is the carbon was shechted, but before the kohen got a chance to spill the blood, or to sprinkle the blood spilled. Ukeman kerebi damar rebi, shnei divarim hamatirin ma'alin zeh b'lo zeh. Rebbe says, well, just one more line, Rebbe says, that ultimately, again, there are two things, two matirin, two things which permit the carbon, that ultimately, again, could go ahead and cause the carbon to become consecrated, even one without the other. Disanyo, kiv siatzeres, Rebbe will say, this is about the Shavuos offering. In mekachin mesat lechem, remember again, with the Shavuos offering, you offer up two loaves, shtei lechem. So the kiv siatzeres, do not go ahead and consecrate the lechem, ela b'shchita. Right, only with the slurring of the offering. Ketzad shecht on lishman v'zarkan dam on lishman. If you shecht the carbon lishma and you sprinkle the blood lishma kidesh alechem, then ultimately again the loaves are consecrated. Shecht on shlo lishman v'zarkan dam on shlo lishman. But if you went out and you shecht the carbon shlo lishman, so we'll say you didn't shecht for the right purposes, and you ultimately again sprinkled the blood shlo lishma lo kidesh alechem, the bread's not consecrated. Shacht on lishman v'zarkan dam on shlo lishman. We'll say what happens if you shechted the carbon lishma, but you did the zrika shlo lishma? What happens in that case? Kaddish ve'ino kaddish divrei Rabbi Meir. So we'll say ultimately again in that case, ultimately again it's safek hekdish. It's Safek Hekdish, which means essentially you have to treat it like consecrated. So to Rebbe would say, same thing by Lachmei Toda. Once the carbon was shechted, even if the Zrika was not done, Halacha L'maisa, ultimately again, the loaves will be prohibited. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Li'olam Eino Kadosh Alechem Ad She'yishchot L'shman V'yizrok Daman L'shman. Rabbi Lazar says that Halacha L'maisa, the loaves are not Kadosh until ultimately again, the Shechita and the Zrika are both done L'shman. Rabbi Lazar, we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tashem at the end of this Machlok. So again, remember, what we're leaving off with over here is the identity of the Lachmei Toda. What type of Lachmei Toda are we using? Are we using Pasa Lachmei Toda, Kash Lachmei Toda, Lachmei Toda where the carbon was shechted, but Zrika wasn't done? Emir Tashem to be continued tomorrow.